Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and our commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, September 9th, it's Wednesday, September 9th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al. It is afternoon, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I get confused about the days once in a while myself. It's Tuesday. No, it's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday, September 9th, 2015. Well, I have an excuse. Since Monday was a holiday.
Yeah, I got the same.
This kind of throws everyone off. And, you know, what's funny, I write dates all day long. With every trade we do, it has today's date. Anyway, let's get started right away.
You're going to have to go back and look at those trades and make sure what date you've got on them.
Oh, absolutely. Let's go ahead and take a peek at the markets today. It's interesting in the stock market today. They fell in this afternoon. They were up triple digits, and there was a report that was released about mid-morning. They began to turn around that they showed the number of available jobs jumped sharply in July to the highest level in 15 years. And, of course, the big deal is, that means the Federal Reserve, they're going to have to raise rates later this month and blah, 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 blah. Well, you know what? How good is that? Those jobs, if your ambition in life is to be a waitress, and there's nothing wrong with waitresses. I know I've done it in my youth. There's a lot of them that make a decent living. You know, they live on tips and everything. But you cannot have a superpower nation with minimum wage earnings, okay, particularly when 70% and a large part of that 70% is all consumer spending. It's just not going to happen. So I don't think there's anything there to cheer about. But you had the market reverse itself. But let's first start with gold. We have gold. Pressure on gold then, of course, was 1108, down 1390. Silver down 21 at 1470. Platinum was down 23 at 985, with palladium down 12 at 582. USDX today was up 0.11 at 95.98. Crude oil was down big, 1.65 at 44.29. Of course, that put the dip on the energy companies. And again, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Wendy Wilson will be joining us right after I give you the paper reports. So the Dow had a reversal of over 200 points. at 16,253, 239 to be exact. The NASDAQ was down 55, 47, 56. The S&P down 27 at 1942. And the 10-year yield, 2.18%, euro 112. And the big news that we'll talk about is Japan. It just cracks me up. Up almost 8%. Up 14. How would you like our markets? Up 1,446 points overnight in a country that is so far in a deep recession, you know, with trillions of yen being pumped into their system, that there's talks that, hey, they'll probably just default on their debt anyway. So only.
Yeah, nobody pays their debt anymore. They just issue more debt instruments. That's all.
You know,
this is like they run the system like a man who has a check and the check bounces and he says, okay, I'll give you another check. That's all. That's all they do. They just write another check. And that one bounces too. And then they write another one. And the world keeps. That's how the system operates.
Hey, as long as the world accepts it, hey.
There's the problem.
Yep.
How much longer will they?
Well, we'll have to talk about that after the break today. We have Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody. Hello, Al.
Hello, Wendy.
What do you got for us today?
Well, I thought we'd talk about some of the, I don't know, questionable, if you will, acceptable limits of toxins that we ingest or absorb in every day. Because, you know, consumers, we're all bombarded with a lot of scientific reports and terms that supposedly tell us, you know, there's these safe standards when it involves all these chemicals in our products. So how does the industry of science determine safe levels of toxicity? And how does each industry determine how other chemical sources will interact, or do they even consider all those interactions? So we have to ask these questions, you know, about the integrity of our food and our water and our medicine supplies. And sometimes, you know, something I think has really gone wrong, basically, when animal byproducts have excessive chemical levels in them. And I think now product integrity has become so foreign to us and so artificial that we can't identify if it's a real food or water, if it's safe to drink, unless the words organic or filtered spring water is on them. Really, I think those are trigger words now people search for as a mainstay, as a little safety reserve for themselves when they make purchases. But something interesting, I came across Dr. Ty Vincent. He's the author of Thinking Outside the Pill Box. And he says that synthetic chemicals have an accumulative effect in the human tissue, and it's known as xenobiotics. So these chemicals tend to cause this oxidative stress, tissue damage, and inflammation. They also interfere with our nerves and how they interact with our muscles. So when we consume synthetic-type chemicals, they can even block or overstimulate cell receptors. So they also, he says, interferes with enzymes, and it can alter our cells. So these chemicals are known also to influence our hormone levels. And when they do that, Dr. Vincent calls them xenohormesis. So synthetic chemicals can also cause an immune system imbalance. And we see a lot of autoimmune problems these days. So the chemicals, you know, can interact with the immune system. And the immune system identifies synthetic components as foreign and attempt to attack it. So doctors tend to diagnose such reactions as maybe a food allergy, and they prescribe medications, more synthetics, and that could be more dangerous because it could cause the immune system to create a direct attack on tissue, causing more inflammation and an autoimmune response. Now, Dr. Vincent also states that the drugs can mimic types of molecule responses, which is kind of weird. So these synthetic chemicals, Al, Melanie, that we ingest into our bodies, can they can bombard the body on a regular basis and have an accumulative effect. And the outcome is, according to Dr. Vincent, chronic illness. So he warns us that there's a widespread issue here, and some of the symptoms can be subtle. So he says what we have is a generation of folks with chronic chemical toxicity in their body. And doctors typically tend to write more synthetic drug prescriptions, or they even recommend no treatment at all to patients that have a myriad of very subtle ailments. Now, doctors are not considering this accumulative toxic poisoning that we're under, and it's coming from multiple sources, so this is a problem. And I thought we'd talk about how this is happening, we can be more aware of it, and what we may do about it. Now, it's estimated, Al, let me ask you, let me ask Al and Aunt Melanie, you chime in too. How many, on average, how many chemicals would you say, synthetic chemicals, are in the average person?
And I would bet that it's I'd bet that it's at least hundreds.
Oh, okay. You want to?
That'd be my guess. There's okay. Tens of thousands of these chemicals that are out there, and nobody knows what they do. It's not possible to calculate. Not possible to calculate what each one of them does and how it interacts with others.
Exactly. Well, just to give you a heads up. The experts out there in this, Dr. Ty Vinson, one of them, he says the average American has 200 or more synthetic mm-hmm. chemicals in their body. Yeah. And the effects of these chemicals can be very subtle and easy to ignore. However, on a metabolic level, a DNA level, these chemicals affect, he says, genetics and even the future generations. So, if we consider the risks of multiple chemicals, Al, invading our body without our knowledge or permission, would or should we consider this an act of chemical terrorism? What do you think?
I don't know if you can say chemical terrorism, but certainly chemical stupidity. I mean, this is strange and dangerous stuff, and nobody's really looking at it.
I know. Well, food preservatives. You know, you got food preservatives, you got additives. They're used, of course, to prevent the mold and rancidity in food. They alone can increase the risk of disease such as cancer. That science already knows. Now, if consumers read over the health risks to many of these ingredients in their food, their makeup, detergent, body soaps, perfume, air fresheners, deodorants, even pet food, they would come to an understanding that there is really no acceptable levels for these chemicals because they're all toxic.
But
think about it. Yep.
Yes, they may be toxic, but they have they each have a certain advantage that makes them kind of irresistible. Do you know what that is?
Okay.
They generate profits.
Yeah.
All right.
Well,
yeah, it might be poisonous, but we can make money off of it. So. What's going to happen? Are we going to not have them or are we going to have them?
The researchers back in 2001, the researchers at Cambridge, Royal Society of Chemistry in the UK, they looked at synthetic chemicals in the diet, and they determined they cause cancer. Their mm-hmm. research appeared in the Journal of Environmental Science and Technology. And also the team from the National Laboratory at Berkeley, California, Department of Cell and Molecule Biology teamed up. And they found there's high carcinogenic properties in products that are contaminated basically with pesticides. So this was in accordance, basically, these pesticide levels were in accordance with the EPA allowance for safety, but the Berkeley team said there's nothing safe about it. So the overall chemical exposure that we've, faced today, it creates a lot of health risks, okay? It can lead to, according to these researchers, cancer, inflammatory diseases, bone disease, pulmonary disease, and most internal medicine disorders. So we've got quite the arsenal coming at us, and the human body and animals even. We have a whole system that has to work in a specific order because God created order. So these chemicals disrupt enzymes and hormones and acids and our genetics, which basically protect our overall existence, you know? So an imbalance in any one of these areas, according to the researchers, influences other areas, and you get a domino effect. And they studied this, and in 2012, they produced a report in the Journal of Applied Toxicology, and they brought to the attention how huge the hormone imbalance risk are just from preservatives in our products. So the study said thousands of these chemicals that they add to products cause cause what is known in the body as hormone mimicking. So they focused on just the products that you see overall in cosmetics. One of them is called a paraben. You see this in lotion. You see this in suntan lotion. You see this in just about everything that you pick up in the beauty aisle. So parabens are really included in all sundry items. They're even in prescription medicines and some processed foods. And they studied this, and guess what they found? It causes breast cancer, and they found overwhelming parabens in breast tissue of victims of breast cancer compared to those who don't have breast cancer. So the team of researchers suggested that the parabens cause the breast cancer and could be from underarm deodorants. I've known this for over 20 years. That's why I've never used a deodorant in 20 years. I use the Crystal Lux.
You do bathe
salt
from time to time, though, right?
Well, I do, Al, thank you. But
all
I
right.
I use the Crystal Lux mineral salts that help with that kind of issue, and you don't need any over-the-counter stuff. Plus, your Crystal Lux product will last 10 years, so you save a ton of money on deodorants. So people are... The WHO, the World Health Organization, says we dose ourselves day after day with estrogenic-influencing parabens to the point that we have 1 million-fold higher levels than and they say it's comparatively safe. It delivers what they call low toxicity compared to other toxins. Compared to other toxins, right?
Mm-hmm. It's like saying so, I was shot with a 38 instead of a 45, and that's really much better for you to be shot with a 38. It's not good to be shot. That's the point, though.
I know. And the thing is little kids get exposed to this stuff. You know, they test the kids 6 and up, and they're saturated with parabens 99.1%. You'll find paraben use. So, you know, it's all over the place, and it's disrupting hormones and enzymes and our DNA. And chemist Shane Ellison, he's author of Over-the-Counter Natural Cures, he warns that people not to use any product that contains a paraben because they are huge hormone disruptors. So this is important for people to know, and this is why I say cleanse the body on a periodic, you know, once a month or even every 3 months. You could cleanse the body every 3 months or at minimum twice a year just to get rid of some of this accumulative toxicity, because the body needs a break. It really does.
Well, I've seen reports that girls are going into puberty, and this is not news. This goes back 20, 30 years ago. Girls are going into puberty at an early age just because of the hormone-like substances that are contained in the bottles of the plastic bottles that we drink from.
Oh, yeah. I mean, babies, you know, they get milk from those bottles. I mean, they get the plastic toxicity from day one, basically, you know, if you're not breastfeeding.
There's even been studies that the plastics have produced some sort of carcinogen that makes men sterile.
Well, I understand.
Yeah.
You know, I can remember Rome. Some people believe the reason Rome collapsed is because they had plumbing, which means plumbing is the word plumbing goes from plumbus or whatever, which is it means lead in Latin. They think that the Romans may have ingested so much lead from their plumbing system that it made them incapable of continuing to run their empire. Right? I'm wondering, are we sitting on the verge of something similar? Are we so saturated with that we are going to go the way of the Romans because we've got too many false bizarre chemicals in our system?
Possibly. Well, I encourage people to cleanse and nourish. That's very basic, but it works. So if anybody wants to learn how to do organ cleansing, we'll help them out. We have a free catalog that can get one. Call this number, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or visit the website, thepowerherbs.com. Got to run. Thanks,
all right,
guys. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Wendy. That's Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663. Give her a call. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and we will be back. Please stay tuned.
have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, two things. We have a little special going today. We have, I did a program with Beth Ann from the CSC radio program. And I ran this little special in her program, and we're going to extend it to this program. It's $915, 1/4 ounce American Gold Eagle. You will receive 20 of the pre-1921 Morgan silver dollars. You will receive a 1-year subscription to her 1-year newsletter, newsletter, and it includes your shipping, all for $915. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1/4 ounce American Gold Eagle, 20 pre-21 silver Morgan dollars, a 1-year subscription to the pen, she calls it, and includes your shipping cost, $915. And I said yesterday I would do a quick comparison on the $20 gold pieces, and I'm just using January 2nd as a starting point for this ongoing comparison. And we had a little bit of pressure on gold today, so I thought we would do it. When I did this, gold was down $26. Gold was $1,109 when I did this comparison. Or am I just losing my mind today, Al?
I'm not sure. I'm not qualified to offer a medical opinion, Melody. If it were a legal opinion, I'm not licensed to practice law either, but I might give you a legal opinion.
It's probably not good for business if I say I'm losing my mind. I'm not, folks. I really am not. Gold today, when I did this comparison, was $1,109. So from January 2nd, gold is down $81. Men State 61 $20 Liberties are up 80. Men State 62 $20 Liberties are also up 80. Men State 63 St. Gaudens are up 110. And Men State 64 St. Gaudens, they're up 125. Men State 65 St. Gaudens were up $230. Men State 66 St. Gaudens were up $255 on an $81 drop in gold. So I think we hit the lows on $20 gold pieces. And what do those numbers tell you, folks? It tells you how they can outperform bullion. It also tells you, because they're not mass produced anymore, limited supply, buying has picked up and product is going off the shelf. And anytime you see increased prices on your coins, it means smaller and smaller supply of product. So don't wait for something to happen. Don't wait to see if something happens. You have funds that you need to convert into gold and silver. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
Speaking of supplies, there's an article here from Andy Hoffman, and he's talking about two foreign markets, also the United States. This physical silver market has tightened in recent weeks. Junk silver is, for all intents and purposes, unavailable. Is that true?
Pretty much. I mean, we get full bags coming through, we get half bags coming through, off and on. If somebody's looking for smaller purchases, that's pretty much, non-existent. You need the full bag or the half bag.
He goes on, he says, popular products like American Eagles and Canadian Silver Maples are now quoting November deliveries.
Well, that I would have to disagree with, because I checked prior to the program, and I always ask for what is available for immediate delivery. And it was Canadian Maple Leaves and the Kangaroos. 1 ounce Silver Eagles are a couple weeks out.
He goes on and he says the premiums on these silver coins are at their highest level since 2009. If price of silver is $15 an ounce, they are selling the coins in some places for X number of dollars higher than that, and that premium is the highest they've seen since 2009. Does that strike you as accurate?
Well, they're higher. They've been at these levels off and on. Every time you have the U.S. Mint, play with the allotments and going into the end of the year, yes, you can see premiums increase. And when, I believe, in 2009, that was when we saw $50 silver. Yeah, premiums were up there at the, four or five. They're equal, probably.
Yeah. He explains that this is due to overwhelming demand in the face of shrinking supply. And he goes on, he has two email that he lists, one from Singapore, one from Australia. And one from Singapore says two of the largest and best dealers in Singapore are pretty much completely out of silver coins at 10-ounce bars. Silver Bullion has some Philharmonics in stock and a few 1-ounce and 10-ounce and 1 kilogram. Koala and Kookaburra in stock and nothing else. No 100-ounce, no one kilogram bars in stock, all on pre-order. The owner told me that they have had thousands of maple leaves on order for 7 weeks with no date of delivery. They haven't committed any date of delivery. It appears that next week there will be no reliable silver available for sale in the country of Singapore. All right. Then he goes on, something similar in Australia. Perth Mint is out of silver bars until further notice. They won't tell you how long the delay is, but they won't take any more orders. Is this tightening on supply of silver? Do you think this is only happening over in the Far East, Australia, Singapore, and whatever? Is this also happening in this country? Is it going to get Is the supply going to loosen up here in the near future, or do you expect it to become tighter?
Well, I don't know what he's writing about, but if someone I know, you could not purchase Canadian maple leaves from the Canadian mint for how many weeks? So we don't sell them. If the mint is not selling them, we're not selling them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if somebody's sitting there taking funds when there were no allotments to be purchased, well, yeah, he could see a long time delivery in those. Now, I'm not saying that's happening, but I mean, you know, usually what happens is, you know, if you're going through some sort of a cycle or if there was something that and it truly started, and I'm not saying there's a lot of product out there, but this all started in January when in the beginning of July when the U.S. Mint, you know, for the full year just recklessly sold whatever any dealer wanted. And then all of a sudden it was, oh, gee, silver dropped significantly. People started buying. And all of a sudden, their inventory is gone. So they cut back on the allotments. It increases the delays of product. People shift to a different product because they want a little bit more immediate delivery. So the next thing you know, everybody's buying Canadian maple leaves because the premiums on Silver Eagles went up. So Canadian maple leaves are still cheaper. You can get them a little bit quicker. So now everybody is piling in onto the Canadian maple leaves. Well, guess what? Then they have a problem, and then people are buying the silver rounds. The next thing you know, all the silver rounds are gone. So, I mean, it is a chain reaction to everything when you have one particular situation that might happen. And, yes, that increases your premiums on all the products, and it puts everybody in a backlog. And it's just like anything else. If you go in and the inventory is bare, if everything is sold out, it takes time to fill those shelves back up and still trying to deliver product that has been sold. So, you know, it's a sign of increased purchasing of silver. We've seen the volume of Silver Eagles for this year so far. We're to outpace any year for last year, you know, records. You know, we have records that are being met or beaten this year in silver. So huge demand for silver, as there should be.
Because they're giving it away at an extraordinarily low price.
Absolutely. But part of the
but this also is consistent with a shortage of supply. It's not just because demand is consuming the silver that's out there. It's because the people who bought it for $14, $15 an ounce are sitting back and saying, I'm not crazy enough to sell it. They're not going to sell until the price goes up to, who knows, $20, $25 an ounce, and they can make a profit. They are going to sit on that silver, and the demand will be increasingly frustrated until the price goes up. And that's the real
indication
of the supply problem. The price has got to go up in the near future.
They can only sit on that product for so long. Or your inventory, you know, depends on, you know, how much you're
sitting on. I'm not talking about dealers. I'm talking about people who buy it, individuals who buy it, and then they're going to sit on it until they're not going to go back and sell to the dealer until the price goes up.
Well, I think I'm not even sure price means anything right now because I think people are holding on to their product for different reasons at this point in time. You know, I think silver would have to go to 50 before anybody would start dumping silver anymore because I think we all know what we face in the very near future.
Mm-hmm.
And no one is selling anything. I mean, I have a few people who sell a couple coins here and there just to, you know, they have a little, you know, expense or something that has popped up and they need to sell a coin. But nobody is selling. That's why you don't have 90% silver. No one is selling. And there's huge premiums on it to buy it. But nobody wants to sell.
Which raises the next question.
But you got to know a lot of people bought a lot of silver at a lot lower prices than where we are today.
I understand that. But nevertheless, they didn't buy it just to turn around and make a dollar or a buck and a half on the price of silver. They are anticipating a huge increase in the price of silver, and they're going to sit there and hold those coins. they're going to stack them and pile them up in the backyard or in the bay in the garage or wherever, and they're going to pile them up until prices go significantly higher, which raises the next question. The answer is pretty much obvious, but nevertheless, with an obvious and undeniable increase in demand, how is it that the price of silver is still down under $15 an ounce? I mean, can it be explained by reason, natural forces in the market, or is this just pure manipulation?
As far as what I'm concerned, it's just pure manipulation. Mm-hmm. I mean, certainly you might have some market forces in play, but I think it truly is rigged, and there is a separate. I mean, you have the product price with those premiums that rise, and then you have the spot price. And when you have something in small amounts, those premiums are going to rise. It doesn't necessarily have to affect the spot price. And I think what truly is happening, is the whole commodity sector, because the world is slowing down, there's not the demand for your coppers, your platinum, your palladiums have dropped so significantly. It's just impacting a little bit of the precious metals. But when that event happens, I mean, we don't know when this event is going to happen.
Which event are you talking about right now?
Any event. Some sort of a black swan event.
That will trigger a rise in the price of precious metals?
Precious metals, gold and silver, will rise so quick it'll make people's heads spin. They have such an opportunity now, and people just aren't recognizing it. You know?
Well, a lot of people are. And
a lot
of
people are.
Showing up in a shortage of, people might say there's a shortage of silver right now. There's plenty of silver.
There's plenty of silver.
But not at $15 an ounce. Right? Yeah. How much silver do you want? I can supply all you want for 50 bucks an ounce. You know, tell me how many tons you're interested in. It depends. There's plenty of silver depending on the price. 15 bucks, no silver. 50 bucks, lots of silver. So, you know, it's not just as if the silver has disappeared and they dumped it in the ocean or something like that. It's there. People who've had brains enough to buy it are not dumb enough to sell it at these prices. They're sitting back and say, look, this is a gift. And, you know, this is one of the things about the market manipulation. We've talked about this off and on over the years. But this market manipulation and suppressing the prices of gold and silver has been really a blessing. Now, it's annoying, it's offensive, it's morally wrong, bunch of things about it. But on the other hand, if you understand about gold and silver and you're inclined to buy it, market manipulation has allowed you to get a lot more bang for your buck. Right? You can stack a bunch more gold at $15 an ounce than you can at $50 an ounce. A lot more silver at 15 than at 50. And this manipulation, it's wrong, but it can't, in my opinion, it can't continue indefinitely. Sooner or later, they have to lose control of the market price, and when they do, it's going to jump in ways that people are going to find it'll be spectacular and breathtaking. But when is that going to happen? We don't know. We do know when we're going to get some more commercials, though, don't we, Melody?
Already?
And that is right about now. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-4255. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on financial survival. What's next, Melody?
We got a question in from Robert today. He says, earlier this afternoon, Senator Ted Cruz and Donald Trump had a press conference against the Iranian agreement. Robert says he's not in the know about the truth about this deal, but Trump mentioned that the Iranians get $150 billion, which they do, for just showing up at the conference table. He also said that just a few hours before this gathering that the Ayatollah said that Iran was done talking and working with the U.S. and that Israel would not exist 25 years from now. If, in fact, this is such a bad deal for the U.S., why do the Republicans in the Senate or House not bring impeachment proceedings against all that arranged this agreement or voted for if treating them with treason?
Well, the answer for that, in my opinion, is that the Republican Party, the leaders of the Republican Party, I believe, are just bought, owned, and operated by forces outside the Republican Party. They're puppets. They'll do what's best for, in my opinion, the New World Order. They're not there to serve the American people, and they're there to lead their party in directions that are contrary to the American people's best interests. And I'm not an anti-Republican. I am, I've run for public office years ago as a Republican. I've almost always voted Republican when I voted, but I am disappointed. I mean, the Republican Party, Trump is perhaps the first real breath of fresh air we've had relative to the Republican Party in some time. But these guys, they say they're going to do the right thing. They know what you want to hear. They'll tell you that. But in the end, they don't do it. And then they don't do it. And then they don't do it. And then they don't do it. And sooner or later, you start to connect the dots. They begin to say, I don't think these guys are actually doing what they say they're going to do. And I think that in part explains Mr. Trump's extraordinary success. Nobody really trusts the leadership of the Republican Party. I'm certainly not talking about the rank and file of Republican people. Republican Party members, the people who support the party, good people, they're trying to do the right thing, but their leaders have been bought and paid for. And they are working against our best interests, in my opinion, and therefore, they're not going to do the right thing concerning these bizarre treaties with Iran or the Trans-Pacific Trade Partnership and whatever.
What I find interesting, wouldn't it be a ticket, Trump and Cruz? And I think I've heard that before, that perhaps that would make a good ticket. And Trump said it that in the reference to the meeting about Iran, Trump said Cruz was one of the first to support him when he shared some of his immigration parties. He says he likes me, I like him, he backed me 100%. And so they're, beginning to have a little bit of a love affair there. But certainly, and Trump also mentioned that if he was elected president, the hostages that Iran has, he says they would be home before he took office. It would be the first things that he did since when he took office was to get them home. So,
Trump is a peculiar character, and he doesn't really fit the mold in your mind of Ronald Reagan. But there is a certain amount of similarity to him. Both of them essentially came out of, they're not precisely professional politicians. Ronald Reagan was governor of California, and I understand he had a political background to some degree, but most of his years were outside of politics. And he was, certainly the best loved president we've had in recent history. And I'm wondering, I'm looking at the similarity between, Ronald Reagan and Donald Trump, and I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if that'll stand up. Will that imagined similarity stand the test of time, Melody, or do you think there's no comparison between Trump and Reagan?
Well, I think what is similar is the way they can promote themselves. I mean, that is certainly what they have in common. I'm not so sure they're, in the manner in which they'll get elected is the same.
Well, they strike
Ronald Reagan wasn't one of the best presidents we ever had either.
But he was one of the best loved. I mean, you're going to have to go back. The last time we had a president who was as popular as Reagan.
They keep you happy while they're, robbing you. But
I never had a bad opinion. I think that there were things that Reagan might have done in retrospect that I think he didn't understand. But I never I never thought that Reagan was a bad guy per se. I thought he was trying to do what was right for the country. I didn't think he was working for special interests. I didn't think it then. I don't think it now. It might be true, but it's just my opinion on it.
They're all puppets.
That's the point, though. Who are we going to get into the White House who will do what's best for the majority of the American people rather than what's best for certain special interests who are in a position to bribe the president, bribe the Congress, bribe the Senate? Who's going to stand up and do what's best for the American people? Trump might. Reagan certainly created that opinion. I don't know that any of them are going to do it. But Trump looks like he might. And I think that's one of the things you sit back and say, all right, fine, got to vote for somebody. Yeah. Why not Trump? Looks like he might do a good job. Who else is going to do a good job? Hillary? I mean, she's put her in charge of the ship, and she'll steer it for the rocks. We're going to be sinking on a coral reef if you let Hillary steer the ship. And to some degree, that's true. That's probably true for most other candidates in the Republican and Democrat parties.
I think what will make Trump interesting, because I believe the office is controlled. But I think if he actually was elected, and again, the way our election is carried out, who knows? He could be the most popular person in the country and not be elected. But on the other hand, let's say he was, it would be interesting to see what he says when he leaves office. Because I don't think if he gets in there and they restrict him from doing some of the things that he says he wants to do, he might be quiet for the years that he's in office, but when he leaves, it'll be interesting to see how much he would tell.
I don't believe that Trump is going to be quiet for except when he's sleeping. All right, and even then he might be making more noise than a lot of people can stand. I just don't think you can shut him up for any length of time. He may not even know what he's saying, but he's going to say it, in my opinion. I suspect that's just the man's nature. We'll watch and see.
I don't think we know enough of him to know what's his nature.
Oh, I agree. I agree. We don't. I agree with that. But, willing to take a chance. I am, at least. I'm willing to take a chance on something I don't know about rather than something that I do know is almost certainly going to be bad for us. He might be good. A bunch of other candidates, to my mind, but you can almost count on them being bad. Trump might be good. In this day and age, that may be enough. That might be as good as it gets. Got a candidate who might be good.
Yay! We got a candidate who might be good.
It'll be interesting.
I have a couple articles on the email follies involving Hillary Clinton, of course, and her private server and the rest, that sort of thing. And here's one from the Washington Times. Senators propose immunity for Hillary Clinton's staffer to testify on email server. That's the headline. Two top Senate investigators floated the idea of immunity Tuesday to Brian Pagliano, the staffer who set up the email server in former Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton's home, in exchange for testimony about her activities. Mr. Pagliano last week said he would assert his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination in refusing to answer questions about the matter. But Senators Chuck Grassley and Ron Johnson, the chairman of two key committees investigating the situation, said they have authority to extend immunity to Mr. Pagliano if he's willing to talk. Now, this is interesting, because the article claims that members of the Senate have offered immunity to Mr. Pagliano. Now, the article does not expressly declare immunity from what? Right? It says, well, we'll give him immunity. Well, is this immunity from mumps or measles or something like that? Is he going to take a vaccine? No. They're offering immunity from criminal liability and criminal prosecution. So far, Mr. Pagliano has said he'll assert his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. Well, what sort of self-incrimination is Mr. Pagliano seeking to avoid? And the answer is self-incrimination. When I say incriminate, it's like saying in crime, innate, incriminate, self-incrimination for having committed a crime. Point one, both the Senate investigators and Mr. Pagliano understand and agree that the current investigation of Hillary Clinton's email is of a criminal rather than civil nature. Point two, the email investigation ultimately implicates Hillary Clinton. Insofar as her staffers are subject to criminal liability, so is Hillary Clinton. Point three, the two senators, Chuck Grassley and Ron Johnson, are trying to get Hillary Clinton convicted of a crime. The struggle between the two senators and Hillary Clinton is big-time political combat, where one side or the other will be politically destroyed and possibly incarcerated. In other words, because it's clear that the senators Grassley and Johnson are committed to convicting Hillary Clinton of a crime, not just political bad judgment, right? A crime that can put her in prison. If they win, Hillary goes to prison and ends her political career. On the other hand, if the senators lose their attempt to convict Hillary, they'll be laughed out of Washington and maybe never heard again, never win another public election. The conflict between Clinton and the senators has gone so far, from my perspective, I suspect that neither side can afford to back down or compromise. If the senators let Hillary off the hook, they'll be accused of having sold out to the Clintons and probably never again elected. We are witnessing a kind of political mortal combat, a fight to the finish between Hillary Clinton and at least two U.S. senators. No compromise is likely. I doubt that any compromise is possible. If the senators win, Hillary is finished. If the senators lose, they are finished. The only way this conflict could be more virulent would be if the witnesses, prosecutors, or their family members started showing up dead. It remains to be seen whether Mr. Pagliano will accept the senator's offer of immunity from criminal prosecution. If he refuses that offer and is successfully prosecuted, I'll bet he's sentenced to a long and retaliatory stretch in the prison. If he's not going to take the deal, they're going to slap him down hard. If it's clear that Hillary is going to be convicted, Mr. Pagliano would be smart to take the immunity deal. If I had to bet, I'd bet that Mr. Pagliano will not accept the offer of immunity. I don't know what he's going to do, but I'm just speculating. I don't think he would dare to cross Hillary to such a serious degree. On the other hand, if Pagliano does take the immunity deal, Hillary is toast. So we shall see. But that's my opinion. But here's Ed Klein in an article on Newsmax. And he has the headline here is Hillary advisor urges her to cut a deal on email scandal. A longtime advisor to Hillary Clinton is urging her to hire outside legal counsel to look into cutting a deal over the email scandal currently dogging the presidential campaign. Ed Klein said the advisor told him Hillary needs to act quickly because contrary to reports that the FBI probe into her use of a private email server may drag on for months, the investigation may actually wrap up by year's end. That means if they haven't cut a deal before the end of the year, it means it'll be too late once this thing goes forward and say, oh, we got you, Hillary. Right now, the FBI, in theory, could cut a deal and say, all right, tell you what, we'll stop the investigation before we've clearly come to evidence. It means you should go to jail if you are willing to enter into a plea bargain for a misdemeanor. And beyond that, according to this article, also agree that you're going to suspend and terminate your presidential campaign. So here we have, I'm inclined to think that an agreement is not possible, not just for political purposes, but Mr. Klein, he says he expects Hillary to make a plea deal and quit the race. And it may be that she can commit, she can engage in that kind of a deal and just say, all right, fine, I'm not going to run for the presidency, but don't prosecute me. And he says, all right, fine, everybody's happy. What do you think, Melody? We've only got about 30 seconds left, but where do you think
this is going?
I could have kept, I can talk for another 10 seconds. Give
Look,
me 15 seconds.
No one's going to be held accountable. I think that, you know, I really, truly believe that I don't know what this deal is about. Certainly someone got ticked off at Hillary and, you know, you can go back to that, you know, the disagreements between Obama and the Clintons and it seems like someone's after her, but yet in the next breath you can see them out playing golf together, joking and so forth. It's so hard to know anymore what is the truth and what side anyone is on. But let's just see if anyone is held accountable. I guarantee you it won't be Hillary.
We'll watch and see, but if it's not her, I think the senators might be if they can't make the conviction. We'll watch and see. I think the public is
there will be
blood.
A scapegoat.
I think, yeah, and I don't think they're going to get away with just a wrist slap. I think the public is in a mood. They want somebody's head on a stake, and if it's not going to
be Hillary's,
it's going to be a couple of senators. We're out of time, folks. I want to thank all of you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye.
All day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.